Right now, it's time to bring in the frickin' frack of Nick and Nack, Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. More information at tqag.com. But if you also want more information, you can go to our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on on-demand, click on appraise this, and we've got the links right there, pictures, telephone numbers, and all the dirt on the guys. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I'm going to have to read that because I want to know what kind of dirt's up there. I love dirt.
All the info.
Yeah. It's the 411.
There he is. He's on the road again, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
he is. On the road again.
Where are you heading to now?
I'm heading to Miami Beach.
Take me to Miami. That's the old joke.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, gosh. I can remember Miami Beach. When I was a kid, I used to go there with my dad all the time. He used to perform at the Eden Rock. That was always nice. We got the security guard fired there one night. All of us kids. We were swimming in the pool at night for some reason. I don't know why. And the security guard did his job and got us out of the pool. But it offended my dad, so he got the guy fired. So my mother threatened to leave and bring all the kids and walk out unless my dad apologized and got the guard rehired. And he got the guard rehired. You know, when you're a kid, you remember stories like that.
That's true.
And then
that's
my mother,
true, love.
Then my mother beat the bejesus out of us. Anyway, good morning.
Good morning.
So, what do we want to talk about today?
Tim posted something on his site that was really interesting. We've talked about this before. This pop artist, Space Invader.
Yep.
The one that uses all of the tiles, the subway tiles.
Yep.
And
but this time what he used was actually Rubik's cubes to make a portrait of the Mona Lisa. And that actually went up for auction, and did it sell at Christie's, Greg, or Sotheby's? I'm not sure.
I think it's sold. I do actually. It's sold at I don't. I'm sorry. I have the wrong thing up here. Sorry.
It was one of those. It sold at one of the major auction houses. And what's interesting is that he's branching out using different mediums. And, you know, I think a lot of artists who are known for certain things start changing because as Greg said, that he used a lot of tiles. And last year when we did our tour through parts of France and Italy, that we actually saw his works in the streets. And I think that a lot of what his notoriety and everything, because people are now taking them down off of the buildings and selling them, he needed to change formats. And I love the idea of this Rubik's Cube. So it was a bunch of different Rubik's Cubes that he used to create the image of the Mona Lisa. And
it was actually 330 Rubik's cubes took.
Yeah.
And it weighs around 80 pounds, somewhere between 80 and 90 pounds. And the piece was actually originally done, though. He actually did the piece back in 2005. And what's interesting to me is they used this particular image for the as a exhibition in the 500th anniversary of the death of Leonardo da Vinci, and then they sold it afterwards. But I started to do some research on Space Invader to find out what other things he had done, and he invented this thing called this new format called Rubikism. Rubik Cubism. Rubik Cubism. And there were several artists who one guy up in Canada who was doing similar things, and he actually did a Mona Lisa, and he used 315 Rubik's cubes to do the same portrait of Mona Lisa. The only difference is that this the artist in Canada used Photoshop to pixelate to get his source images, and Space Invaders, which looks much more realistic, closer to the real Mona Lisa, used a computer program, so he was able to be a little bit more exacting on the arrangement of all of the pieces or all of the cubes. And I was wondering whether or not they just used pieces of the Rubik's cube, but no, they had to arrange all 300 and in his case 30 Rubik's cubes in a specific pattern in order to get the image to come out like it is. So when you look at the piece when it's laying down flat, you can actually see the depth of the Rubik's cube all the way around. So they are actually the size of a Rubik's cube, but just the top surface is the Mona Lisa. And they did Bonnie and Clyde, he did Charles Manson, he did some of the famous criminals of time, and he did rock so stars.
Who do you mean by he? Is that Invader or this?
Invader, game? Yes.
Oh, Invader. Wow.
$520,000 it sold for.
Yes, it did. It did. And if you just go in and type in Rubik Cubism, the images are amazing. And it's really fun to look at and to read some of the articles about it, because it became a new, it was a combination of, have you ever seen the portrait of Sunday in the Park with George where he does all the little dots? Yeah. It's a combination of that, and it's a combination of Picasso. It's a combination of several other artists. And he came up with this entire new format for cubism. And it's a great play on words as well.
Yeah, it gives a whole new meaning, and also pop culture, because of the Rubik's Cube itself
being yeah.
used as the medium, which is really interesting. Wow.
Well, so that was a fun thing to research for today.
$520,000. Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Yep.
Mike, the question that I have is, I would like to see the process, because, you know, how he had to set the Rubik's cubes up. Did he have 330 of them and he just started playing with them until he got the one of the green pieces in the right spot? I mean, that I can't imagine how long it took to do this.
Here's the part of me that's bad. I would tend to think that he would entered all the information about a Rubik's cube into a computer, and come back with data that would tell him where to place those things.
Well, I'm sure that's probably I'm sure that's probably what happened, and that's probably the reason that if you look at the two pieces, the one from the artist in Toronto, and then the one with Space Invader side by side, you can see that Space Invaders, which was done by the or not done, but it was let's just say pre-sketched out, I guess, by the computer, was
with the assistance right.
It was far more accurate. And you know, the interesting thing about these sort of things is when you look at it close, it doesn't look like anything. But the human eye and the brain are wired to, when you stand back, the ability of the human brain to identify faces is it's just how we're wired to easily recognize faces. So when you step back. Yeah,
that's what he's using, is that perspective and that depth. But also, because he did so much work with the tiles prior and putting those designs together and putting them on buildings and, you know, getting the size and proportion and colors together, I hate drivers on 95. Sorry. all of that, I think, really played into his really stepping it up with the Rubik's Cube, where you only have a limited palette and number of colors, and here's how do we make this work? And I'm sure that that's where the computer helped to generate a sharper image.
Well, the other thing is the original Mona Lisa is only 2.5 feet by a little over 1.5 feet. And the measurements for the Rubik's Cube Mona Lisa is 3x4. So it's significantly, it's twice as big. Right. So I found that kind of fun.
You know, you bring up an interesting point about the size of the Mona Lisa, because I know somebody who had a Picasso hanging in his apartment in New York, and when I saw it, I was gobsmacked about how small it was and what it was worth.
Oh yeah,
it was worth like $20 million, and it was really small. I said, wow.
Yeah, well, like a postage stamp.
true story here. First time I went to Paris, I was so excited to go to the Louvre because I wanted to see the Mona Lisa. So, and this was back in the 70s when you could get really, really close to the art. And so we're going through and there's a line. And so we go into the gallery and I keep looking around for this masterpiece, and all of a sudden to my right I look and there is this postage stamp size painting of the Mona Lisa, and I was like so disappointed. I was so disappointed in the size, and it was nothing like I had built it up in my head to imagine what it was. So but I literally, I could have reached out and touched it, but I'm sure I would have been arrested. But yeah. Now you can't even get close to it. It's behind glass. It's, you know, you can't even get near it. But perspective is, it's all in perspective. And when you see photographs of famous art, we perceive it differently than it is by seeing it in person. And this goes back to a comment that Jill had made many times on the show when she was talking about there's nothing like going and seeing something in a museum rather than seeing it on the computer.
And that goes, and that goes for not only paintings, but statues, any form of art. If you cannot grasp the size of something or the grandeur of something by seeing it in a photo, you just can't.
Well, and there again, going back to this Rubik's Cube Mona Lisa, because I know the Mona Lisa is so small, I thought, oh, well, he must have made it the same size as the Mona Lisa. Well, not so much. No. He made it 3x4. So that would, you know, I would have been happy if the Mona Lisa was 3x4. So much happier. But you know, that was and that's a true story. I was like so disappointed when I saw the Mona Lisa for the first time. You know, it was just such a letdown.
All right. So now, before we say goodbye, where are you going to? You doing another job in Miami today?
Yes, I'm doing an insurance appraisal of just a variety of different assets, and I'll be down for the day and then drive back. I'll probably, you know. The joke is, I'm in the car more than I'm on site, usually, when I go down to Miami. So,
we have we have an exciting job that's coming up that's here in mid-Florida. And it's a little unusual, but it's going to be fun. I can't really say too much about it right now, but once we get closer to it or get into the job, we'll be able to talk about it a little bit. But it's going to be a fun appraisal. So we're looking forward to that. That's coming up towards the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And I just posted my new podcast this morning is up. It's about mushrooms.
That's for the Silver Chef, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
so
that's going well. So right. We're rocking and rolling here.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week. Have a safe trip back, Tim.
Hey. Thank you.
Have a good week.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Marshall.
Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with appraisist, TQAG.com on the web.